little baby tobacco.
Absolutely. This is the more modern way of starting plants. In the old times, they would start these in the ground in plant beds.
Are these floating?
So these are absolutely floating. They're floating in trays. They have like a great root system on
them. Holy cow!
And what they're trying to do is to get the roots to develop before the plants develop. It's kind of like planting spinach. Really yeah. Soft soil, and they plant each individual seed, and each tobacco seed's about the size of a poppy seed. They're just tiny, tiny, tiny. Each individual plant is pulled out, put in the ground by hand. They plow down the middle to keep the weeds out, then they chopped out between the plants, and they might do that two or three times. And then they top it. They put the sucker oil that goes down that'll keep the suckers from coming off. They cut every one of these plants by hand, and then they lay it on the ground, they pile it. And then each individual plant is spiked onto a stick. And then each one of those sticks is picked up and put onto a scaffold wagon. And then they're unloaded from the scaffold wagon into the barn. And then they're taken out of the barn and taken off the stick and put on a flat wagon. And then the flat wagon is taken to the stripping room. And then each individual leaf is picked off. So just a little bit of labor involved. This is a fire cure tobacco barn. Before, you could just go to Lowe's or Home Depot and buy lumber that was cut, you know, like, and you could butt it together and it would be smooth. Right. You had to have some kind of way to fill up the cracks. If you put sawdust and then slabs and you have one little poof of air, you have all of this plant material in this big wooden barn and it just goes poof and it burns up. The slabs that they use to fire the tobacco barn are the scraps that it took from when they made the barn. And the way the fire goes is they put the slabs down and they lay them long ways, and then they put sawdust in here, usually about knee deep, you know, 24 inches deep. And it's a recipe proprietary to each farmer. And it's only built up to about the concrete wall down here, like just because they don't want it to touch the wood.
Right.
And then if you notice when you look around at eye level, never mind the door that's open at eye level, everything that's in eye level has been sealed shut, so there are no air gaps. But when you look up, they've left cracks in the barn.
Oh, sure.
Because you want the smoke to go all the way to the top and through. So they, like a chimney will draw, these barns draw.
Yeah.
So that all the smoke is sucked up all the way through and out. Every tobacco barn has a pile of tobacco sticks, and the stalk goes on here, and then it hangs across these tiers. And you can tell the age of the sticks. This has been milled in a modern sawmill. You can see the saw blades down the side. When you get in these older tobacco barns, it's usually fat on one end, pointy on the other end. It's was split out with a knife. Some of these sticks have been in the barn since the barns were built. Every person in the family for maybe 100 years has handled the stick because they put it in the field, put it up, take it down, back and forth. So if there's a such thing as a piece of wood that like holds a memory,
yeah.
It's like you're literally holding the blood and sweat of all the people that came before you that were in this tobacco barn. When they hang tobacco in the barn, you have to climb up in there. So you have like a stick that's 100 pounds or so, and you have to hand it up to the person because their feet are going to be right there. And they do it when it's the hottest part of the summer. So you're in this barn that's not very well ventilated. It's really hot. You've been outside and always heard that you're not a man until you've had another man's ball sweat in your face. Because it's just, you know, gravity. You're standing straddle leg up there. You know, when you reach up, you're going to get a big eyeball of sweat.
That's great. Thank you to those that have sacrificed so lovingly.
There were literally millions of pounds of tobacco that were being produced just to supply a little bitty tiny Springfield. When we were walking around, you could see these buildings are not small. Maybe there's 35, 40 of them in town. This was the economics. And if you can imagine, all of the tobacco that was sold in these buildings was grown within 50 miles.
All the tobacco would then be...
They would put it in big lines, and then they would come by and they would auction it off. And on one side of the row would be the auctioneer, and on the other side of the row would be the tobacco buyers. it's like makers of chocolate or, you know, like other fine foods, like artisan kinds of things. It's like, it's a process that takes generations to learn how to do.
Right.
And it takes years to master. Let's say if they get 40 good crops. So you've learned, you know, like through your grandparents or your parents, and then you get to be 20. Well, when you're 20, they're not going to turn over the farm to you. When you're 30 until the time you're 70, that's all you have to like master your craft. Now we're at the point where the 70-year-olds, their grandchildren and their children are working off the farm. Unless somebody documents it right now, like how to do this, it's gonna be like blacksmithing but that knowledge that's been passed on for hundreds of years is fixing to like just disappear. You think about like all of these things in here, you know, like a lot of them came from the Midwest or the Rust Belt. As we moved into an industrial revolution where they had more production in the north and the raw materials were coming from the south, whether it was cotton or tobacco or sugar or iron ore or coal from Kentucky, and the whiskey and the cigars and the raw materials that were used to generate that wealth were coming from here. You always see the guys sitting at the bar, drinking their whiskey, stirring their whiskey with their cigar, and these great lavish houses. It's really a full circle when you think about it, that you're in this building full of things that were purchased by wealthy people in a loose floor that is no longer. So it's like literally an artifact in an artifact. And it really tells a story of culturally what's happening without ever saying food or tobacco. It's just the story of people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's like, what do we value in our lives? I mean, it's like, you know, chandeliers and glass lamps and art and furniture and all of the things. Ironically enough, stored in a tobacco loose floor.